Rest of us, let's turn to, let's see, where should we turn? Colossians chapter 3, and once again, Luke chapter 5, as we continue on our journey to Thanksgiving. Continue on our journey to Thanksgiving. How many of y'all realize that there is plenty to be thankful for if you're a Christian person, a believer? I mean, every single day, on your hardest, worst, darkest day, even. Right? Everybody knows that. And you know as well as I do, as we've gone through some of the valleys in life, that in the moment it's challenging, isn't it, to get focused on the things that we can be thankful for. And we talked a lot about all the things that God has done in our lives and in our church. And I hope that you spent all last week praising the Lord for all of that in your mind, in your heart. Focusing our hearts on gratitude. Making a decision to be thankful regardless of what things look like or what things have been, right? Because here's a prime example of what I mean. About this time last year, we were in a whole different situation, weren't we? And it was uncertain and it was crazy. It was weird. It was nothing like, we thought the pandemic was bad, but then the hurricane came through. And they both were equally challenging in their own ways. And if we look back now, looking back, we can look and see how God was involved in every bit of it. We can look and see the blessings that were there along the way. Well, today I want to encourage you to not dwell in the past, but let's look at right now. I mean, right now, what is God doing that we can praise Him for and be thankful for? Today, right now. In our Wednesday night Bible study, we're looking at the book of Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews, it teaches that it, as long as it is today, we encourage one another and we build each other up and we help each other stay on the path. As long as it is today, we'll praise the Lord, serve the Lord, and thank the Lord. Right? Now, what I'm about to share with you this morning, I just want this precursor to be mentioned. I ain't got this figured out yet. I'm working on it. The Lord is working on me. And I'm talking like in recent days. As I'm thinking about and working on and praying about this message, I'm challenged in the things that I'm about to share with you. All right? Not because I'm not grateful, but because life happens and things happen and my attention span gets off on something different for a moment, and then I got to get reeled back in, just like any of the rest of us. I hope I'm not alone. Let me read. First off, let me just say gratitude in the present opens up our hearts for God's new work today, in our lives today. The blessing that God is trying to pour into our lives today, the ministry that He's trying to pour into our lives today, the daily bread, a grateful heart and mind sets us up for receiving that, right? That's where our theme of new wine and new wineskins comes into play, as we've been talking about and we'll continue to talk about. But let me read in verse 15 through probably 17 of Colossians chapter 3, just to get us going this morning. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you, within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And in verse 17, it goes on and says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Now, these are instructions that Paul is giving to the church, the Colossian church, the believers over there. And he's kind of teaching them what it means to be new wineskin, to receive the new wine. And he's teaching them what it means to be, to live the Christian life and put off the old self and put on the new self. This is how we've changed from who we were as offenders of God to who we are as believers in Christ, right? And these are some of the words he was saying to them. And it's pretty heavy if you think about it. I mean, it's really heavy. So let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. That means you don't get to be in charge of your heart. And you're not the boss of you. Hello? If you're surrendered to Jesus, if he's the Lord of your life. Some people, he's just their Savior, but he's not their Lord. That don't work. And some people, he's neither, and that certainly don't work. But he's saying, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. That's what you were called to be. And then be thankful for that. I thank God I'm not in charge of self anymore. Every day I thank the Lord. Because every day the Lord has to remind me I'm not in charge. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot you got this. Thank the Lord. And then let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. And then because of that, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we're singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. You ever see anybody that everywhere they go, they're singing or humming or whistling or never seem to be sad about anything? You ever seen anybody like that? There's nothing wrong with them. It's just, you know, you just like sitting back like, why are you so happy about all the time? Just be mad with me for just a minute. Just a minute. Come over here and be mad with me. I don't mean that. It's just sometimes what people are, you know, people are just too happy sometimes. But if they're in Christ and they're praising the Lord all the time, then that's exactly what the scripture's teaching us to be. Be thankful. You can be thankful without being in a great mood, by the way. Because the word of God is alive in you and you have everything you need. We're singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's what we do even when we're actually here on Sunday morning singing songs. Whether or not they're being led well, we're singing with gratitude in our hearts. Trying to make a joyful noise, even though we miss a note or two here and there. And then in verse 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, as long as we're in the name of the Lord, we're giving thanks through God, the Father. It seems to me like the Christian life is a life of gratitude. It's what comes out of us. It's not what we try to do. It's the product of the one who lives in us. Am I right? Because even the worst of times, and I think all of y'all can testify, even the worst of times, we can say, thank God that I wasn't alone in that. Praise the Lord, he never left me in that dark place or those hard times or that mess that I made or whatever it was, you see. Isn't he amazing? Isn't he great? So be thankful, sing with gratitude, and give thanks to God. As we kick-started the engine, so let's check this out. In Luke chapter 5, which we have read in the last few weeks, we're going to quickly review a specific thing in verse 38. Because this is where Jesus was challenged about fasting. How come your disciples aren't fasting and our disciples are fasting? And it was a challenge about the law versus the new way. Basically what it is, the quick summary once again. And Jesus is trying to teach that there's a new way coming. There's a new way here. And the old ways are all not always necessary. So he's saying, you don't put new wine in old wineskins. You don't put a piece of cloth from a new garment and put it on an old garment. That doesn't work either. He's given examples of why it doesn't work. But then he says in verse 38, in the middle of all of that word picture, he says, but new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And when he says that, he's really speaking in the present tense with the people that are there. Why is he speaking in the present tense, and how do we know he's speaking? Because he is the new wine, and he is in their presence in that moment in which he said that to them. For them, it was right now, Jesus is there. This is what God is doing right now. Because Jesus has come into the world, he's walking around in the flesh for the purpose of eventually going to the cross for them. And they're asking to be taught something. It's not just the religious leaders, it was John's disciples, remember. John the Baptist. And they were trying to understand what's the difference, what's going on, how come you're not doing what we always do or what's always been done. And he's trying to teach them because there's sometimes, because when things change and things are new, then it requires a new way. So today, I want to just point out that God's activity isn't just in the history, right? We can look at the history of any church and praise the Lord for all the great things he had ever done in those churches. From Acts chapter 2 all the way through to now. In all the churches around the world where God used the people, the believers, to make disciples so people could be saved. Right? We praise God for that because it's how we're saved. The gospel traveled all through the generations until you and I received the gospel and we got saved. So let's just start there and just praise the Lord for the big things. But it's not just for history to be remembered. It's not even just for prophecy to anticipate. How many of y'all know Jesus is coming back? How many of y'all can't wait for Jesus to come back? Well, you're going to have to wait. But how many of y'all are like excited about maybe Jesus will come back today? What if he came back today, y'all? What if today was the day? And the answer to that in the heart of anybody who just heard me ask that question, it depends on if they're saved or not. If you're saved, you should get excited. If you're saved, you could be like, woohoo, I'm ready to go. This is it. This is going to be over with. Jesus, my Savior, is coming. If you're not saved, you can be like, so why should I care about that? Or if you're not saved and have rejected truth, you would begin to mock and put yourself in the way of God in his wrath. But it's not history to be remembered. It's not prophecy to anticipate. It's right now, the power of the Holy Spirit alive and well in our lives. The power of the Word of God alive and well in our lives. It's what God is doing in you. It's what God is doing in me right now, today, in this moment. Right now, in this moment, we're all standing here, sitting here. You're sitting there. I'm standing here, and we're looking into God's Word, and there's a message being presented, and it's for your edification. It's so that you can learn and grow. It's so that I can learn and grow. In this moment, that's what God's doing. And he's doing it in who knows how many churches around the world where they're preaching the gospel. What's he going to do after this is over with? Right? What's he going to be doing this afternoon? What's he going to be doing this evening? I don't know. But I would do well to focus on what he's doing right now. So that I don't get tempted to worry about what he is or ain't doing in the future. Or what I want him to do versus what he might not do. Or whatever anxieties come about in our hearts. See, anxiety is the enemy. Fear is the enemy of faith. Doubt is the enemy of faith. And trusting God because of what we have seen and what we have read and been testified about to and what we expect to see, that's where the power is. And we live in the moment as a believer. We pray about the future, for sure. We make plans for the future, 100%. But we live in the moment. Why? Because that's where God is working. And in this moment, he's preparing us for whatever's going on tomorrow, should we get tomorrow. And in this moment, he's preparing us for whatever's going on in 2026, should we be allowed to live 2026, you see. Last year at this time, it was, like I mentioned, it was chaotic and it was hectic and it was uncertain and confusing and trying and hard and all of the, any emotion you want to put on it, it was it, wasn't it? And now, a year or so later, I look back and I say, you know what? The Lord was showing us a lot of things throughout that. The Lord was involved in a lot of things. Not only is he showing us a lot of things and fulfilling his promise to be faithful to us, but he's also prepared us for right now, back then. All last year is preparing us for now. Preparing us for what's going to happen tomorrow and next month, next year, and whatever the Lord should give us. We're always being prepared for the next thing that God is doing, the next thing that he's going to pour into our lives, in our homes and here at the church. He's always preparing us for that. And I'm talking anything that you went through in your life in the past is God is going to use to prepare you for what he's got for you next. Make sense? Sometimes I make bread at the house. And my wife will tell you that when I make bread at the house, it's like we don't just cook the bread and put it away until we want it. No. We got to get that thing out of the oven and put some butter on that thing, like almost before it's even out of the oven. And we sit there and we just eat that hot, butter-filled bread and just sit there and thank the Lord for taste buds. And then we put the bread away and we'll slice it up and make sandwiches with it at another time. And it's good then, but it's not at all the same as it was when it was right out of the oven. Because not only are you tasting that warm, butter-filled bread right out of the oven, but you're also smelling it. And I get to sit next to my wife at the counter where I'm cooking, and we just look at each other like we just fell in love all over again with each other. We both got butter dripping down our face, and it's like, ah, it's great. This is amazing. The work that God is doing in each of you and in me and in all of us as a family, that's the way he intends for us to enjoy it. He intends for us to enjoy the work that he's doing in our lives in just that way. It should affect us in just that way. We shouldn't just sit back and say, oh yeah, God did a great thing yesterday. And you're allowed to have emotions. You're allowed to get excited. You're allowed to have a smile on your face. You're allowed to say amen with a little bit more than your normal voice on occasion, right? You're allowed to clap your hands when you saw God just do, like just know he's working in your life. You're allowed to walk around the house singing hymns at the top of your lungs if that's how you feel. As the Holy Spirit melts in your heart like butter on hot bread. And the truth of God's word is active and alive in your life, and you can see it happening. You see. And I believe that's what God intends, how he intends for us to react to all of that. You see. When I was younger and I raced cars and I didn't go to church. I wasn't even saved. And there wasn't nothing going to happen on Sunday except for sitting down watching NASCAR. That's it. That was what was that was happening on Sunday. And if I was watching with somebody or not, I would get excited about whatever was going on in that race. You don't sit at a race or you don't watch it on TV without yelling at the top of your lungs for whoever it is you're rooting for. Or whoever it is cut your driver off and now you're mad and angry and you're throwing stuff at the TV and you're just acting the fool. You see. I think God wants us to engage in what he's doing with all of our being and be grateful that we even get to be a part of it. Isn't that great? Even if it scares the fool out of you. Even if God says, in this moment, I want you to go and love on this person in this way. And you're going to be like, whoa. I mean, let me call the preacher and see if he'll go do it. Right? Because you know the preacher will do it. Not always. Not every preacher is going to just jump up and say, okay, I'll do it. I will come and do it with you. Whatever the Lord puts on you to do, I will do my best to serve alongside of you. But if the Lord put it on your heart, it's your buttered bread to eat. It's your slice of bread. And you'll miss out if you don't get it while it's hot. if you don't get engaged while it's hot. Open your eyes to what the Lord's doing around you. Every day, look for it. Ask the Lord to help you find it. Help you see it. Don't miss opportunities to see God in your life. Don't miss opportunities to see what God's doing at our church. Don't miss opportunities to praise Him for the answered prayer. Right? And I'm talking all the answered prayers. The ones that are on our prayer list. The ones we've been praying for years that finally got answered. And I'm even talking about the little silent prayer that you thought when you in a fleeting moment of your life, and then God immediately answers it and you don't even notice it because you're so busy. Right? It's hard to be grateful when you don't see it. It's hard to be thankful when you don't see it. And if you're not grateful, if we're not thankful, if we don't have grateful minds and hearts, then we're not ready for the Lord to pour into us, and we won't be able to absorb it all, and we'll miss it. God's work is meant to be enjoyed and acted upon right now, and then later it becomes part of our testimony, and we can continue to build up our gratitude. Gratitude is not nostalgia or wishful thinking. It's an awareness of God's presence in your life, y'all. If you lose sight of God being involved in every moment of your life, you're kind of in trouble a little bit. And I would encourage you to just find a way to stop your life for long enough for you to get drawn back to God. Sometimes we have to do that, you see. And I know we're all on this planet, and it's like a big merry-go-round that nobody wants to stop so you can just get off for a minute. You know, sometimes it's like that. It's like, somebody just stop so I can just get off and take a breath. And then I'll jump back on. It's not like you want to get off and stay off. You just want a minute, right? Can I just get a minute to catch my breath? And God is saying, yeah, take a minute. Matter of fact, I want you to come and sit down with me for a minute so I can restore you and refresh you and bless you and pour this into you that I've been chasing you to pour in to you that you can't see because you're on the run all the time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it just talks about, he says to the Thessalonians, in everything give thanks. That's always a challenge, isn't it? In everything give thanks. Think about what everything means. If you think about it long enough, you're liable to get frustrated. Like, I gotta be thankful for that. If you look at it long enough and you talk to God about it long enough, you'll find a way and a reason to be grateful in the middle of all things. But notice what else it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is what God wants from you. He wants it for you. It's what Jesus went to the cross so that you could have this. Not so that you can do this, but so that you can be this. You can have a grateful heart and have a thankful attitude. It's all a fruit of who's in your life and in your heart, you see. It's the bread that tastes good. That bread would taste good out of the oven without the butter on it, just so you know. But it ain't like it. It ain't the same without the butter, is it? You can have a great life without Jesus, but if you don't put Him where He needs to be, then it won't never be what He died for you to experience. It's just hot bread. But the Spirit of God and the Word of God is the melting butter over your life, which turns it up way bigger than we could ever find it. There's nothing else going. When her and I are eating that hot bread out of the oven, seriously, when we eat that first piece of bread out of the oven with that butter on it, there's nothing else happening on the planet in those moments. There's nothing else. The house could be burning down and we're still going to be sitting there eating that bread. That's just how good it is, y'all. Your world, God can be, we could be in the middle of a storm like we were last year, and God's still there doing the same kinds of work. It's still great as it ever has been with God. Imagine if we went through storms and pandemics and loss and hardships without Jesus in your life, without even knowing who God is. Or imagine that God, it was a God and he's not, but imagine if he was a God that wasn't faithful and didn't care about the things that go on. How hopeless would that be? If that was the case, we would all be pirates. We would go do what we want, live how we want, and who cares about anybody else, and we'll just take it all for ourselves because there's nothing to live for, you see. If there's no hope, and if there's nothing to look forward to, and there's no Savior, then who cares? If a thankful heart is one that stays ready for God's increase in our lives, right? And let me just point this out, and this is just maybe a little bit of a confession, maybe, but let me just point this out, and I hope it's helpful. I think it's possible to be trying to live for God and trying to have this relationship with God and at the same time wrestling with the distractions or the temptations that would pull you away from all of this. I'm saying that because that's the way it is for me. That's the way it is for hopefully for all of us, because that means I'm not abnormal. Hello? It's kind of like you got neighboring farmers, and they've experienced this drought that's been going on for a long period of time, and one farmer just does what farmers do. They just keep plowing up the ground and doing what they do to plant seed, just hoping and praying one day it's going to rain and everything will be all right, because that's what farmers do. But what if his neighbor decided, you know what, it's not even worth it. Put his tractor in the barn, put his tools in the barn. He's like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing all this work if it just ain't going to rain. So then it finally does rain, and guess who's got crop? Guess who's got a chance to reap some fruit of the labor? Guess who gets to be in the blessing? Right? The one whose faith continued to press on even when things were dry. As believers, as individuals, there's times in life when things are just dry. It doesn't seem like anything special is going on. But those of us who are disciple makers, those of us who are spiritual harvesters, we go about the work every day as usual, trusting that God is going to bring the harvest, that God is going to be the one who produces the blessing. He's going to continue to pour when it's time to pour. We have to be the ones who are faithful. And we're just going to thank the Lord we have a hoe to row. A row to hoe. I say it backwards. We're going to thank the Lord we have work to do. Right? We just keep being Jesus with skin on in the world. We keep loving people. We keep serving God every day. Even though it doesn't seem like a lot is going on because of it. Because it's God who is doing the work, y'all. And he's doing things that you and I can't even see. Maybe we'll never see. Maybe we will. But right now, whatever we're doing, it's his business what he does with it. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he was being persecuted, y'all. He wasn't on a mountaintop at a picnic having a good time with his family. No, they were trying to kill him. And he says, in everything, give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ. It's what God wants for you. He wants you to be grateful. He wants you to have an attitude of gratitude, right? Thankful hearts are plowed fields ready for God's blessing. Now, before I move on, and I'm going to move on because I can see that I'm running out of time, I'm just going to name off a bunch of things. Because I want y'all, I know y'all know about it, but I want to name off a bunch of things. And if you're so moved in your heart to say praise the Lord or thank the Lord, then you go right on ahead. We've had at least 6 baptisms this year. That's what the Lord's been doing. At least 6 that I know of. Dean, our previous youth minister, was here for all of last school year and into the summer and had a great VBS. And he was a blessing to us being here. So praise the Lord for that. I just been here for over a year, and Jeremiah and Meredith are sitting back there. They're still here. They're hanging out in the house now. They're like moving in now, which is great. It's amazing. They're doing a great job, and Ides partnering with Oak Grove has helped us be the witness in this community. It kind of forced us to do more than what we ever thought we would do, in the ways that we ever thought we would do them. And I know somebody's going to sit back and say, "Well, yeah, but they're all the way over to Swannanoa, and they're never going to come." It don't matter what they're ever going to do. We got a chance to go and love people, y'all, in their time of need, and we're still doing it. We still got three houses we're doing. We're still working on. And Jeremiah's Rich's replacement. Rich has been great, and God's blessed us to have Rich around here, but he's on to another assignment. So now Jeremiah and his wife and the kids are here, and they're great too, and the Lord will bless us all. So we praise the Lord for that. We're not just some little church hidden in Avery's Creek that nobody knows about. We're not. One, because God knows about Oak Grove. Okay? And God's doing pretty amazing things. Now, we support several missionaries around the world. India mission, one of our India mission, they got a lot of trouble going on lately. A lot of trouble. And we get to support them financially and prayerfully. And if in the future we get an opportunity to do anything else for them, we're probably going to consider doing it. Because they're out there getting arrested. Some of them might actually be threatened. Their lives are being threatened. But they're getting people saved over there. They're preaching the gospel. And they're getting people saved. And they're praising God. And they're giving the glory to God. That's what they're doing. And we get to be a part of that. Same thing with Johnson University. They're over there training preachers as best they can. We need more preachers in the world. We're short on preachers, in case y'all didn't know that. So anytime two young guys come over here and preach, we can pour into them and they can pour into us. Praise the Lord. It's the kingdom work, y'all. We're doing things for the kingdom of God that way. And then, of course, we got our local ministry that we support, and sometimes we can send things to them and help them in certain ways. And then there's Mr. Francis Drake. Sat back here where Glenn is sitting right now. Every Sunday since I've been here, he sat back there. And the last little bit of his time in the world, all I saw was his Adam's apple. Because his head fell back and he was asleep the whole time. He'd come and he'd faithful. He'd sit there and his head get too heavy and he'd fall back like that and his mouth wide open. He'd sleep the whole time. But he was here. And then he went on to be with the Lord, and he left his property to the church to be a blessing to the church, y'all. And you some of y'all know, maybe all of y'all know, we've been wrestling with figuring out how to deal with that and how to get that done so that we can do whatever it is the Lord wants us to do with that. Well, Friday at 4:10 p.m., we closed on the house, and I put the check in the bank. That is a done deal, y'all. So praise the Lord for that. And I'm just saying that not just the financial blessing that's come along through Mr. Drake, Mr. Francis Drake, but also all of the other things that God has taught us and helped us through and grown, helped us, our faith be strengthened. God is preparing us for whatever's coming down the road. We are being prepared for ministry, y'all. We will have no excuse whatsoever. Praise the Lord. Now, some people hear me say that and they're like, "Oh man, that's a lot of pressure. I might fail." No, you can't fail. You can't fail because God has given you everything. He's given us everything we need to succeed. We got the gospel. We have each other. We have the Spirit of God living in us, the Word of God right here in front of us. We have financially what we need. And we have a community that is busting at the seams. How can we lose? Praise the Lord. You sit here and think, you sit here and pray all the time. We're asking God, help us make disciples. Help us be your witness. Help us be your church. Okay, he's answered the prayer. That's what he's doing right now. He's answered that prayer. So, if you're like any other normal person, you're going to get wide-eyed and say, uh-oh, it's time to get busy, right? It's time, what are we going to do? We're going to do whatever the Lord leads us to do. And you've seen emails that I've sent to you about some plans and some thoughts. And we're going to continue to move. And we're going to be like new wineskins. As the Lord shows us the way, we're going to be flexible and be able to adjust as he continues to pour this new ministry into our church and into our lives. We're going to continue to be everything he needs us to be so that he can have his way in our church and in our community. And the only way for us to continue to stay available and stay flexible is to continue to stay thankful in the present time. Right? I mean, thank the Lord we can come into this church building and praise God. Thank the Lord we can even go to church today without persecution. I thank the Lord for them guys that were standing up here earlier. Because God used them to make that happen. You see. And many others around the world. God's fingerprints are on your day, every day. And he's molding you for what's coming tomorrow. So it's real easy, and I'm speaking from experience, and y'all pray for your preacher. It's real easy to get stressed out about the small stuff or the details. And by the way, side note, I don't even know if it's a side note. Y'all got some great elders at the church right now. Thank the Lord. And I'm going to tell you why. Because a few days ago, I needed them elders to smack me around a bit. Not because I was in trouble sinfully. I was just reacting to this Drake situation and all the things that come along with it. And I was told to go back to wherever I was when I was working and go back to work. Meaning stop worrying about it. And I needed it. I needed to be checked. I needed somebody to tell you, look, settle down. The Lord got this under control. And he did. And that whole situation, by the way, was a total misunderstanding over a text message. Nobody's fault. But here I am with anxiety getting in the way of my gratefulness over this whole process. I'm a work in progress, y'all. I'm definitely a working. I'm just going to get me a t-shirt, an orange t-shirt. Has a reflective stripe around it. Construction zone. But I praise the Lord that even in those times that he's patient with me and he's patient with all of us and he gets us through it. And we all grow from it. I'm excited, y'all. I want y'all to be excited. I hope you're excited about what's going on here at the church. I hope we get so excited about what God's doing today, what he's trying to pour into the church today, that we don't dare miss any Sunday because we might miss out on something. That we don't dare miss anything that we do outside the church, any outreach, because we want to see what God's doing, you see. It's easy to just get complacent and get away from God and then get away from his family, and then you're missing out. And then finally, one day, somebody comes up to you and says, hey, tell me about your church. And you got to look online to see what's going on so you can tell them. You should already know. Because you should be involved. All right, I'm done. Let's be done. The most powerful place a believer can live is in the present. The most powerful place you can live with God is what he's doing right now. Like today, right now. And that's a challenging lesson, isn't it? Because sometimes he's put something aside because it's for later, and I want to sit here and worry about whatever that is that I can't do anything about. All the while he's saying, come over here and let's do this while that's in the works. But I'm not over here doing what God's doing because I'm over here worried, concerned. And God wants my faith to grow. He wants your faith to grow. He wants our faith to be so strong that it's like, okay, what are we doing today, Lord? And then all of a sudden we thought we knew what God was doing, and then suddenly we get turned in a different direction, and God's doing something over here. We need to be flexible. We need to be able to go where God wants us to go so that we're aware of his hand in our life. We're thankful for his grace, and we're open to the new wine that he wants to pour in our lives. I wish I would learn this years and years ago as a young preacher and a young minister. I probably would have had less stress in my life. But I think that's the stretching process, don't you? You learn things. And sometimes you learn the hard way. Sometimes when God stretches us, it's a little painful. It's a little stressful. Nobody likes to be stressed. Whenever I had aches and pains, my mom would just look at me like because I'm bothering her usually. I would come in and tell her something hurts, and she's like, it's just growing pains. Go away. I could have been dying. It's just growing pains. Go away. Don't think bad of her, because we're Gen X kids. That's how we were raised. Nobody cared. God's new wine, he's preparing stuff now. He's got a work that's going on right now. And he will finish that work. If you get ready to be a part of it, you won't miss it. So let's thank the Lord for today. Let's thank the Lord for what he's doing right now. Psalm 118, verse 24, it says this here: this is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. You've heard it before, you've sang it before, you've said it before, probably on your refrigerator. If you don't, if it's not on your refrigerator, maybe it should be. This is the day the Lord's made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. And let me tell you something, and I'm hoping I'm growing out of this too, but there's nothing more aggravating to me than when I'm trying to be in a bad mood and some brother comes up to me and says, hey, this is the Lord today, the day the Lord's made, be glad in it. I'm like, leave me alone, I'm trying to be frustrated. I'll be trying to talk me out of this bad mood. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Let the Lord bless you and let the Lord lead you and just be thankful. And when we get to be thanking God for even the things we don't like, that's when we know we're close. That's when we know we're close. Right? I thank the Lord that one of our elders had to tell me to go back to work and stop worrying about stuff. I thank the Lord for it. Because if he didn't say that to me, I'd probably still be at the house fretting over something. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for storms that helped us grow and helped us learn who we are and who he is. Everything. I thank God for everything we've been through together as a family. I don't like it all, but I thank God for it. Right? I love you and the Lord loves you. We're going to stand together and sing. And we're going to be thankful that the Lord is our God every day. If you're not saved, then you probably ought to think about being saved. If you want to know about that, come and talk to me.